everybody. Welcome to Theater Schmooze, where we chat with Jewish theater makers from around the world about their art, Judaism, and vision for theater's future. I'm your host, Danielle Levski. This podcast is brought to you by the Alliance for Jewish Theater, a nonprofit organization made up of theater artists, theaters, and other people connected to theater to promote the creation, presentation, and preservation of both traditional and non-traditional theatrical endeavors by, for, and about the Jewish experience. Today, we'll be talking with Ali Viterbi, who is a playwright and television writer based in Providence, Rhode Island. It's such an honor to have you as a guest in our show, Ali.
Such an honor to be here. Thanks for having me, Danielle.
So good to be here with you. I wanted to start by talking with you about your play In Every Generation. It's currently up at Victory Gardens in Chicago, and it's going to be starting rehearsal processes at San Diego Rep. And next year, it's going to have a production at Olney Theater in D.C. I know you've just gotten started having conversations around design and casting in San Diego, and the D.C. show is really far away. But I'm curious as to what kind of lessons or insights you hope to glean from working on this production at different entities.
Yeah, so In Every Generation is part of what's called a National New Play Network rolling premiere. And that is just such a gift to playwrights. It means you have three different world premieres, multiple productions of the same play with completely different teams, different actors, different directors, different designers, different sets. And something that's already so exciting is, so we start previews for the production in Chicago at Victory Gardens this coming Saturday. So I'm about to see it for the first time in front of an audience, which is very exciting. But it's a totally different production than what's going to happen in San Diego. We're already cast in San Diego, and we already have a design put together. So the production in Chicago is in the round. So the idea, the whole play takes place around it takes place during a Seder, around a dinner table. So the audience is really going to be around the table with the Levy Katz family, which is very exciting. And then in San Diego, it's in a thrust. So it's more kind of proscenium, and there's a kind of distance, but it also allows for a really expansive set. And I won't kind of spoil the play, but there's a lot of very theatrical moves that happen that take us through time, and there's a lot of magic. And so the kind of magic of that will be really visible in the San Diego production. And I have no idea what will happen in DC, but already that's going to give such different experiences to the audiences, such a different experience to me as a playwright to learn about the play, to learn, you know, whether how it works in an intimate setting, how it works in an expansive setting. Our casts are very different, and I'm really excited to see what I learn about the play through their interpretations of the characters. What's so exciting about a world premiere and new play development in general is I really get to collaborate with other artists in creating this piece of work. You know, I've been alone in my apartment for 5 years with it. I started writing it in 2017. And there have been developmental workshops and readings and things like that. But this is the first time where I'm like in rehearsal every day working with an incredible director and actors and designers. And I feel like the play has really become ours. It's not just mine anymore, you know, because everyone has their own unique stamp on it. And that's just so thrilling, particularly coming out of, or if we're still in this pandemic, but particularly after 2 years of real isolation, to be able to collaborate in community. I mean, I think that's why I wanted to join the theater in the first place.
Yeah, that actually is a perfect transition to my next question, which is, what kinds of work were you doing on the play In Every Generation during the pandemic? Because I mean, right now you have it going up at three different places, which is super exciting. It's so great to be in the rehearsal room again. What did the process look like when we weren't able to gather in person?
Yeah, I would say not a lot, to be honest with you. Okay. There had been a ton of development prior to the pandemic with anticipation. This Victory Gardens production was supposed to happen. We were supposed to start rehearsals August of 2020. So it's almost 2 years in the making that it's been postponed.
Wow.
And it was really painful, to be honest, to really engage with theater in a meaningful way during that time, because I couldn't, there was so much that was lost. You know, there was grief for the world, for our country, for humans that were suffering, and also grief for this art form that I've had such a long love affair with. And so I felt like it was painful for me. I know every theater artist approached it differently during that time, but personally for me, it was painful to work on this play that was, we were just starting to cast it and go into production. So I didn't touch it a lot. And what's so funny is that it's the first part is set in the present day. And I've kept it in 2019. And now it almost feels like a period piece, you know, because we know what's going to happen to that family next year. The next Passover is going to be maybe on Zoom. They're not going to be able to gather. 2021, that Passover, they might not be able to gather. So it felt really important to me to keep it as a family gathering around a table. And so it stayed in 2019 as so, it's strange for it to feel like a period piece when that was not very long ago, but so much has happened in the Jewish community, in the theatrical community. And so I didn't really touch it for a long time until last summer when we did a streamed workshop of it. And that was really exciting because it felt like I came to it with fresh eyes, and we had the amazing Tova Feldshuh playing the grandmother and Ed Giro playing the grandfather, just actors that I've dreamed of working with for so long. And even though it was remote and even though we were still on our little computer screens, it felt so thrilling to revisit it with fresh eyes. And then again, I didn't touch it until I started this rehearsal process. And that was really a conscious choice, I think, because I've been living with this play for so long, because not only did I start writing it in 2017, but there's a lot in there that's very personal to my family's experience. So it felt like a play that had been living with me since I was born, essentially. I wanted to give it some space and approach this with really fresh eyes. The world has changed since I started writing this play, both in the way we talk about the Jewish experience in America and in the way we talk about a lot of the topics that are brought up in the play, family inheritance and race and who gets to be a Jew. All of those conversations have so transformed. And I really wanted to approach the play holding all of those things in mind and seeing it also with fresh eyes. And I'm really proud of the work that my team has done. And I think it was really important for me to have some distance from it in the pandemic and focus on other projects.
Totally. Oh, that's so beautiful. And I think a lot of us can relate to that sadness, no matter what folks decided to do during the shutdown period. If folks tried to engage with Zoom and Zoom theater and digital productions, or if they shied away from it and worked on other forms of art or other things to take care of themselves, I think we can all relate to the sadness of losing live theater for so long. I'm curious, in your discussions and planning so far with the different teams in Chicago and in San Diego, have these types of conversations come up about, like, what are we going to do in our talk back? Are we going to discuss this next Passover that the family would have had in 2020? What kinds of discussions are happening there with the production teams?
Yes, absolutely. I think that that has been on the forefront of our minds really from the beginning of when we found out when the new dates were for these shows. It was important to me to almost protect this family from, like, I didn't want to reference it in the play. That felt important to me to do, to keep it in 2019. And then we go into the way distant or way imagined future. So there's a good 30 years in between. So I felt confident, you know, in kind of steering clear from pandemic talk within the play. But in conversations around the play and the way that we're approaching it with audience engagement, absolutely. And I think that honestly has as much to do with COVID and the effect that that's had on our ability to gather in community, as much as it's had to do with the national conversations around race and Jews of color and the way that our communities have responded to some really big social and global shifts in the world. You know, war, increased anti-Semitism, as we've seen in the last 2 years. These are all conversations that are deeply baked into the play and have really changed. And so I think our audiences are going to approach this play differently than they would have 3 years ago. And so it feels really exciting to use those engagement opportunities as a way to, you know, really dig deeper into these questions that I think a lot of people have today.
Totally. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And a lot of these conversations, I think, will serve as educational opportunities for people to inform one another, to share with one another, which leads me to my next question. Mm-hmm. That's a bit more focused on your educational and mentorship experiences at Yale and University of California, San Diego for locals, UCSD. Mm-hmm. I particularly wanted to talk about the 2022 Yale Playwrights Festival. I was reading about it, and your mentee, Zoe Larkin, had mentioned working with you, being mentored by you, being in relationship with you as she was working on her piece for the festival. And I'm curious to know, for you, what it's like being in relationship to another writer who's coming along in this way from a very similar place where you grew academically as a theater artist. How has that experience been for you? How was that experience for you?
That experience was so thrilling because I was in the Yale Playwrights Festival a decade ago when I was a student there, and it was so important to my own development as a writer. It was the first time I really like proclaimed out loud that I was a playwright was in that festival, and I got to learn from these mentors who are so looked up to. And so it was really a full circle moment for me. But I think particularly, I feel so lucky that I've had so many incredible mentors that have supported me in my work, both at Yale and UCSD, and just in theater communities that I've been a part of, and Jewish communities that I've been a part of. And I credit, you know, so much of the work that I've done to those mentors, and to, so it feels really, it's always felt very important to me to be able to offer that too, particularly to young female Jewish playwrights. And I felt really lucky that I got to work with Zoe on her wonderfully funny and hilarious Jewish play about a family gathering for a Chinese Christmas dinner. And it was just such a great experience. She reminded me a lot of, you know, myself at that age going through the festival. And it felt really important to me to be able to spend a lot of time with her doing the kind of work that was given to me at that age. I had taught playwriting classes at UCSD when I was in grad school there. We taught the playwriting undergrad classes. And I just loved that experience. I think not only did it make me, you know, a better teacher and a better mentor, but a better playwright too. I think when you're teaching someone those kind of like fundamental basic skills of playwriting, it reminds you like, oh yeah, I got to do that too in my own work. And there's something so generative about that kind of reciprocal relationship of teaching and learning from your students and from the work you're doing. And so I just loved that experience. And it was really special to go back to Yale and see my old teachers and, like, you know, have the opportunity to tell them how much their teaching and mentorship meant to me, and then in turn to give that. So it's something that I love doing. I hope I get to do again. I know I'm going to continue teaching actually at UCSD in the fall, so I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, it's just such a gift to be able to be in relationship with, I would say young writers. I feel like a young writer myself, it doesn't feel, but to be in relationship with writers and artists and humans of all different ages and experiences. And I see that, you know, I love being in relationship with writers that are more experienced with me too. And I think that, I mean, not to bring it back to In Every Generation, but that's a lot of what the play is about, these intergenerational relationships and how sacred they are to Judaism, to family, and to me personally. So.
Totally. I mean, Judaism is all about teachers. We seek out teachers in our rabbis. We seek out teachers as our parents. Our children can sometimes be teachers too. Like, I think Judaism is, we're the people of the book, right? So we're constantly learning either from somebody else or from each other or from ourselves. But on the topic of Jewishness and in playwriting together, yes. When we talked a little bit earlier, you had said that every play you write, whether Jewish or not in content, you approach it from a Jewish lens.
Yes.
So I'd love to learn a little bit more about how Jewishness impacts your work, particularly in the Jewish podcast that you host, Hevruta.
I love that question so much because I feel like it is such a good encapsulation of all of the work that I do. I think I was drawn to theater in the first place because of my Jewish identity is where I think I'll start this. I was raised in a pretty observant but secular Jewish household, you know, where I went to Jewish day school and Jewish summer camp and synagogue every week. And it really instilled in me the value of community, the value of gathering. You know, in Jewish tradition, there's this idea of the minyan, which you need a quorum of at least 10 people in order to fully express yourselves in sorrow, in order to recite the mourner's kaddish, the prayer for the mourners, or, you know, in joy, in order to say certain prayers that are joyful expressions to God. And that minyan as like kind of a building block is something that was just really ingrained in me early on. And that feeling of togetherness so correlates to me the feeling of theater that theater engenders, right? Because you need a community, actors and designers and crew and directors and writers and an audience in order to fully experience the gift of theater. It can't happen in a vacuum. It can't happen alone in your apartment. It has to happen in community with an audience actively engaging in the questions of the play in order to seek meaning. And to me, that is so what The Minion is too, right? That we have to actively engage with one another in order to seek meaning, in order to reach our greatest spiritual potential. So I was really drawn to theater in the first place because of that idea, because community has been so important to me in my life. And so I kind of always approach my work as a writer in that way. What is the kind of play I want to write that's going to create a feeling of community in the audience? What's the kind of play I want to write that's going to create a feeling of community in the cast? I wanted to write stories that were ultimately loving, that maybe they get hard and complicated, but are centering community and joy. And so that's, first of all, I think something that I always approach when I'm writing a new play, whether it's Jewish in content or not. And then also, I think my plays follow what I kind of call a Jewish dramaturgy. You know, in playwriting class in college, you're taught about like Aristotle and the idea that, you know, there's an inciting incident that leads to a climax and then there's a denouement. And that kind of, I understand and appreciate the significance of that in storytelling, that we need an arc. But that's just never the way that storytelling has lived inside of me and inside of my family. And inside of my Judaism, I think Jewish storytelling is circular. You know, you're constantly coming back to the same themes. You read the Talmud and there's no answer, right? There's no climax and denouement. It's a bunch of people arguing with each other. And the only answer is in the argument, right? That we don't say this is the law and this is how you have to follow it, but actually read all of the commentaries, read all of the questions that are generated, and that is how you seek meaning. And so as a playwright, I've approached my plays in very much in that way. That there's no one answer, that there's no climax denouement, that it's actually an aggregate of all of the questions asked and examined and emotions felt. And so my plays don't necessarily follow that kind of traditional dramaturgy. In every generation, I guess I'll kind of spoil one of the conceits of this. So if you're planning on seeing it, you can just fast forward a little bit. But it starts in 2019 and ends in this explosive fight that never gets picked back up again, because then we travel back in time to the 1950s. And then we're with the grandparents at their first Seder in America after the Shoah. And we don't really see where that goes because we go forward into the future in 2052 in a very different world in America. And then we go way back into the desert at Sinai and the Jews in the desert and the first Passover Seder. And so, yeah, maybe you don't get the kind of resolution that you would get in a traditional play, but the play follows a very spiritual Jewish logic that culminates where I think theme and questioning is more important than answers. And I think that's true of all my plays, even plays that are about, you know, I wrote a play about Bachelor and reality television, or a play about sorority sisters, and those aren't exactly Jewish in content, but I do feel like they follow a Jewish dramaturgy and they follow a sense of like foregrounding community. Something like what I would call minion theater, right? How do we create that feeling of being in a minion inside of a theater? So that's a very long-winded answer to your question, but I think there's a lot of Jewish tradition and ritual baked into what I do, which I guess leads to my podcast, which you asked about, which is called Chevruta. And Chevruta is that Jewish practice of engaging, where two people sit down to engage with a piece of Jewish text, and the answer isn't, and one person poses a question, the other person poses an answer and another question, and then an answer and another question. And the full answer is not in each individual one, but in the aggregate of all of the questions and answers posed and answered. So that is very related to how I see theater, but it's also something I was excited to do. So it was conceived of by Rabbi Phil Grobart, who was my rabbi growing up at my synagogue. And he's a wonderful rabbi and educator. And he asked me to co-host this podcast with him. And I was like, well, I'm not a rabbi. Like, I don't know a lot of, you know, I know some Talmud, but I'm not able to engage with it in the way that perhaps he is. But I think that what was exciting to me about this was each month we have a different guest, someone that is perhaps a Jewish scholar, but also maybe an artist, maybe an educator, maybe a community leader, who brings in their favorite piece of Jewish text. And then we have a Chevruta discussion about that text and how it can give meaning to our lives. And when I say Jewish text, I don't necessarily mean Talmud. We've had a Bob Dylan song. We had a quote from Angels in America. We've had, right? It's a really expansive view of Jewish text, which I personally love as a writer of what I would say
Yeah. I mean, I think it makes sense that he brought you in then as somebody that relates so strongly to not just Jewish text from a liturgical stance, but also Jewish text in the artistic cultural viewpoint of America and the world, right? Be it through playwriting or songs or storytelling or literature. That is so wonderful and cool.
Thanks. It's
Yeah.
been fun.
So yeah, check out that podcast, everyone.
Yeah.
It's get into that Jewish discussion, that Jewish story framework where the whole answer is in the entire
Right,
podcast.
exactly. So don't pay too much attention to any individual thing I say.
Yes, that's actually a good transition point too for something else that you have a leadership position in, the San Diego Jewish Arts Festival at San Diego Rep. Tell me a little bit about your work for that as the Associate Artistic Director.
Yeah, so I actually started working for J-Fest, which I'll shorten it for J-Fest for now. When I was in high school, I was 15 years old,
Wow.
and Todd Salovey, who is the Associate Artistic Director at the San Diego Repertory Theater and the founder and Artistic Director of the Jewish Arts Festival, he found out I was a young playwright and asked me to co-write a play with him for J-Fest. It's called Woman of Valor, and this will actually be, gosh, I believe like our 17th year of doing it. So I've done it every year since I was in, maybe that's not quite right. I can't do math right now, but we've done Woman of Valor every year since 2007.
Wow.
And what we do is we honor six Jewish women in the San Diego community, people that are leaders in some way, and we share their stories. We conduct interviews with each of the women, and then we turn that interview into a verbatim piece of theater, so a kind of documentary style where we share these women's stories, and we do it as a fundraiser for Jewish causes. So that's how I started getting involved, was through Women of Valor. Small plug that it will be going up at the San Diego Rep again in June, and in Encinitas in the North County in June as well.
Very
So
nice.
that's how I started with the Rep. At some point, I think I had just graduated college, and I was kind of figuring it out living in New York as a writer. And Todd asked me to jump on board as an associate producer for the festival. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. I'm not a producer, I'm an artist. But I was so passionate about what J-Fest does. Its mission is to create brand new Jewish art, art being music or theater or visual art, dance, opera, you know, any kind of art that's Jewish. And it starts in the festival and it goes on to have many different. To have a whole life after the festival is our goal. And so incredible new pieces of Jewish theater have been founded there, Jewish music, dance performances. And I was just really passionate about that as a mission because I didn't see a place where there was a real cultivation of new Jewish art. You know, I had been reading the same plays, same Jewish plays, like in school, you know, from so long ago. And I hadn't really, I was like, where are the new Jewish works? And I wanted to be a part of bringing that. And so, yeah, so I've been doing that for, gosh, like probably a decade. And
Wow.
as I've realized, as I'm now in a more artistic position, no longer in the kind of like day-to-day producing of it, where I just get to help really decide and curate what the shows will be. I'm really excited about the shows we have coming up this year. It's just a really amazing thing, and I'm really proud to be a part of this festival, which brings a new audience to new Jewish work.
Yeah, it's incredible. And the Jewish community in San Diego is so strong and supportive, and I think it's a really great place for it. Speaking of somebody who lives there now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, and it's really diverse, you know. I think there's
Yeah.
not one way to be Jewish in San Diego, certainly not in the world, right? But I
Yeah.
think it's really important to us in the festival too to really showcase the diversity of the Jewish experience, and that is something that I'm proud to be a part of.
Yeah, totally. It's wonderful how intentional you've been in incorporating Jewishness and Judaism into your work, whether it's through Jewish-oriented plays or events or not. Even like your approach to writing itself has this Jewish lens. I'm curious if there have been times where Judaism has shown up unexpectedly in your artistic career.
Always. I feel like it's always unexpected and surprising that it shouldn't be surprising at this point, as you said, because I have been intentional about it, but yet every time it is surprising that that it does show up. Yeah, one funny thing is I'm writing right now like a young adult fantasy novel about a teenage witch. And cool. I was like, okay, cool. This is going to be totally different from everything else I'm doing. Like, it was the pandemic. I was like experimenting with other media. And I was like, yeah, I love writing magic and witches. And then, of course, she turned out to be a Sephardic witch with this like huge history of, magic that's baked into the diaspora of Sephardic Jewry. And like incantations in Ladino. And I'm like, okay, how did that happen? I was successfully trying to write this like fiction, magic, fantasy world. But I think that it's so much a part of who I am and how I see the world that it finds its ways into so much of what I do. And I think it's something that maybe at some point in my writing life, I resisted. But I think now it's something, and I don't know why I resisted it. I think we all have differing relationships to Judaism at different points in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was trying to have other parts of my identity shine through in that. But now it's something I'm really proud of. I think it's really amazing when I can connect with other Jewish artists. I think it's amazing to create art for a community that I'm not saying is not represented, but is often represented in stereotype or trope. Or in a very specific, like Ashkenazi American lens. And that's not my experience of Judaism. And it's one I feel really proud to, that it, I'm proud that it does find its way unexpectedly and surprisingly into what I do, even when I don't intend it to, because it's a tradition that I'm very proud and a people that I'm very proud of.
And as you should be. I mean, I love the way that you present it in your experience and in your life. And probably the most wonderful thing about Judaism is that it's not just focused on the spiritual, it's very much integrated into the physical. So we can find it in every aspect of our lives, even when we're not trying to.
And there's so many ways to be Jewish, right? With the Jewish Arts Festival, like I'm so excited if someone who is not Jewish finds meaning in the work, right? Like I certainly do not think that my work only appeals to a Jewish audience, hopefully, right? But also, when someone Jewish, like they, I haven't been to synagogue in 10 years, but I feel I want to come to see Jewish art. Like that's exciting to me because I think there are so many, being a Jew is not just someone that practices Jewish ritual, right? Or Jewish observance. There are so many ways to engage with Judaism, and writing is a part of my Jewish spiritual practice, whether it's Jewish in content or not. And I think that that's the goal, is for everyone to find their own in and in a way that's meaningful.
Ah, that's beautiful. Wow. Thank you so much, Allie. This has been such a wonderful conversation.
Oh, thank you, Danielle. Yeah, this was really wonderful. Thanks for letting me geek out on my favorite things to talk about.
Of course. We're so happy that you joined us today and geeked out with us.
Happy to be here.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Theater Schmooze. A special thanks to Danny Debner, our technical producer, Ilya Levinson and Alex Kaufman, the composers of our theme music, Michelle Shapiro, the creator of our logo, and the entire Alliance for Jewish Theater community. This podcast was brought to you by the Alliance for Jewish Theater. If you like what you've heard today, support this podcast and all of our initiatives towards connecting Jewish theater makers by making a tax-deductible donation to Alliance for Jewish Theater at alljewishtheater.org or joining as a member. Make sure to give us a review on iTunes and learn more about us at alljewishtheater.org. I'm your host, Danielle Levski, and I'll chat with you next time. L'chaim!